this. I just started watching this nature documentary yesterday on Netflix. Are we going, Mark? And it was. They started off with the three rules of life on this planet. I can't think. It's made by Spielberg and loads of other people on Netflix.
Oh yeah, dinosaurs and all this stuff.
Everything. Yeah, just everything. Evolution, life on the planet, basically. Uh-huh. And it was like the three rules of life on this planet and how the most adaptable survives, obviously, and how survival competition breeds evolution, stuff like that. And it got me thinking about all the work we do, and I was like, it's kind of like what we talk about all the time, in the sense of like life hands you a hardship, or you fall off the wagon, or you do stuff and you get it wrong, and you start and you stop and you start and you stop. But ultimately, these obstacles that come our way are the things that cause us to adapt, isn't it? Mm. The most. You touched upon that, a few back, where you're like, I've learned a lot through this situation with my mum. It's because you've been forced to adapt. You've been forced to adapt. It's not a choice. It's in the sense of like, oh, I'm going to learn about, you could read about this situation or watch somebody else going through that situation, and the adaption wouldn't occur in your life, would it? But you're being forced to adapt, like, and it's happening. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think experience is the best teacher, as we know.
Yeah. So I'm all over this. I never watched.
But then it can go the other way,
I've only just got
right?
Netflix.
Yeah.
I've only just got Netflix.
Really?
Well, you know how I roll. I haven't just only got it. It's my brother's Netflix, technically, but I've got into loads of stuff on there.
Yeah, there's some cool shit on there.
The documentaries. I've been telling you about the Sylvester Stallone one.
Yeah.
It's the best. I love the Beckham one. The Beckham one was great because ultimately, I was like, oh God, I remember that. I remember that. Oh, that goal, that was brilliant. Yeah, like all these things, all the people you remember.
Yeah.
I saw a little a meme on Facebook. Every man watching the Beckham documentary is like, I remember this. I remember that. And Glenn Oddle didn't help him and all that stuff. But I've watched that. But the ultimate one for me was the Sylvester Stallone one because I loved Rocky as a kid.
You didn't. Something wrong with you if you didn't.
Honestly, remember every summer holidays, I'd get the tape out. We had them on tapes back then, didn't we?
Yeah, VCR.
Plug it in, recorded it off the telly somewhere. So you have to like fast forward it to the, do you know what I mean? Yeah, to get it to the point, don't
you? Yeah, but it sounded like a Boeing, so it's like a plane.
Fast forwarded through all of it.
Mate, if a kid heard that coming from the TV area this day and age, you'd think there's a bomb.
Kids wouldn't have
on.
The patience, but now.
No.
What, you mean I got to like try and find where it starts?
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I can't just.
You can't just go to the start?
Yeah.
No. That's not how it works, mate.
You know, kids these days, everything's touchscreen. Like, why is it not working? It's not touchscreen. Yeah.
But I honestly, every summer holidays, he said, jack that on, Rocky one. And then all of a sudden, I'm out in the garden with a bit of rope, skipping.
Yeah.
Going running.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. But Sylvester Stallone, mate, it's amazing. I won't do it justice, but the fact that he just wanted to be this actor, really, and I'm probably going to get some of this wrong, but because you said, did he write Rocky, didn't you, off the mic and that? And I was like, yeah, he wrote it. Not only did he write it, he wrote it for himself.
Mm.
And no one would touch it with him in it. They're like, this is amazing, but you can't star in it.
Really?
And he's like, I am Rocky. Yeah. And they got up to something like 300,000-400,000 for the script without him in it. I can't remember the number. But he was like, no. To the point where he sold his dog and stuff like that. And then they finally let him do it, but they paid him hardly anything to do it. But he was like, I am in this film. This is what's going to make me. Like, this is, who I'm going to be. And I think he got his dog back, I read somewhere. It might not be true, but I'm pretty sure it is. I'd put good money on it being true that I've got it right. I think Spider Rico, do you remember Spider Rico he fights?
No.
In the first one, he's like the bloke, he's an amateur, he fights at the start. In the very first scene of Rocky, mate, I've watched it too many times. But I think that actor was the bloke who bought his dog off him. And the only way he'd give it him back is if he laid him apart in the film.
You're joking.
Yeah. And
so
all
he
of
must
the
have
people
got a dog back then,
were
in the
accidents.
Film.
Like Adrian, she wasn't really, they wanted somebody else for that. But he was like, no, I've got this vibe with him. Like all of them were a bit ragtag.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it went on to be like massive.
Massive.
And so he talks about that and how he basically wrote himself in a character. And he was talking about writing about hardship. And he just chose boxing as the medium for that. That expression.
Yeah.
And then he went off and did a load of other things, can't think what it was, that didn't work out. Then he wrote Rocky II. And Rocky II, Apollo, is it, when Apollo's all like hurt reading his fan mail in his mansion, like, they reckon Rocky beat the...
Yeah.
Kind of like, on this documentary, Quentin Tarantino was like, that's just him expressing where he was at. Everyone was like, this is a one hit wonder. He sucks. All it, you know, everyone was giving him shit reviews for everything he'd done. And he said he was probably wandering around his mansion. So he just expressed himself again. Do you know what I mean? And he, all the way throughout, they're just all expressions of who he is. And he talks about that. Like the Rocky Balboa, the one he did when he's older. He's like, you know, there's stuff in the basement. He talks about, he said, that was me at the time. I just had this stuff in his basement. Like I was done. What do I do now? But I had stuff in the basement. I had something there that needed to come out. And so I did Rocky and... It's brilliant. Man,
what a way to express yourself, Floyd.
And he lost his son. And I think he ultimately was saying about his relationship with his dad. And I mean, you know, that was terrible. If you watch it, you're like, yeah, that was tough, wasn't it? And all the different things that went on, you're like, I think ultimately it's been this journey. Like, I just loved it. It felt real to me. I could relate to it. He's like, man, it's this journey of this bloke trying to figure himself out and better himself and express himself. And I think... Like I find that much better than some of the other stuff I've watched. That's just a bit. Like I don't feel like he did that for like almost to promote himself in any way.
Yeah,
it felt like he was doing that to express to tell his story.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the stuff you watch now, you're like, this is big old fucking marketing, isn't it? It's just to get you back in the public eye or whatever. And I didn't get that impression.
No,
it didn't feel fake to me. It felt.
Well, real knows real. But, you know, we spoke about this in another episode about being who you are. You got to know what you want. And I think, you know, many people will probably have ducked out going through that journey he's been on with people not believing in him. You know, people going, hey, I don't want you in the film, but we'll tell you story anyway. Here's money on the table. You know, I'm really, you know, you're doing yourself no justice there, are you? You're ducking out yourself. But, you know, and this is with the Beckham thing as well. Anyone who really... You'd have to be this big, make difference, have to make this big film or you know, do something like David Beckham in his success. But I see this same thing pan out, right? Let's use this example. There's a lady who everyone said she's a Bible basher at school, right? She's an African lady. She said the most weirdest thing to me one time, but got me attention. Like, there's no way she would have known it. And I asked her, like, what? How do you even know this? And she said, God told me. And I was like, what? Anyway, long story short, this woman has come over here with three kids, and she's in one of the her daughters are in the same dancing school as mine, and I hear that she has to go to this competition in Nottingham and take all the kids on a train, right, and then obviously do the thing there and then take all, you know, all the kids back, and it turns out to be true. And but I knew in this woman's eyes, yeah, that she was doing everything in her power to be the best mum she could for her kids, and it doesn't matter what anybody else was saying. All these people were saying it were probably up their own ass anyway and didn't have a smile on their face. She would say good morning to everyone. And out of all the people in the school, I really warmed to this woman because I just was just inspired by the fact that she is going to, you know, above and beyond to make sure that she's giving the best to her kids. And that's the example you see with Beckham. He was so obsessed with the football and what he wanted to be and what he wanted to get and what he wanted to achieve. And nothing else mattered. Same with Rocky, I wanted to share this. And when that's being you. That is truly being you. And that's where you see no matter what's being said, or what's being thrown at you, because you know, I'm sure she has the same obstacles and setbacks, probably financially and everything else. That's the common, at, you know, living on a council estate with three kids and not working. But you know, the same with Beckham, the shit that he had to put up with.
Yeah, he went through loads.
Well, look at the abuse. And but you remember that bit where he was like, you could see he wasn't playing the game. All right, he was having, but then he started singing his name, and all of a sudden he just turned it on.
Well, I think sometimes everyone needs somebody who believes in them.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone,
yeah.
Like Sylvester Stallone, I got the impression that he had to believe in himself before anyone did. In that case, he's like, shit, he backed himself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He backed himself to, you know, to do something with it. Basically, he sort of said, I can't remember what he exactly said, but he went, look, did you think of taking the money? He said, look, I'd rather have took less money and maybe I wasn't going to be any good, but at least I'd know.
Mm.
Then wonder.
Mm.
He said something along those lines. You're like, I love that. It's like, because we all got to sometimes put ourselves in a situation where we think, well, maybe this ain't going to pan out, but it could be great. This show we're doing could be great. It could be fucking dog shit, let's be fair. But I'd rather know than sit at home thinking, oh, well, maybe we could do a show and be interesting, wouldn't it? Same with things like the book, which I don't mention very often, but when I do, you know.
What's that book called again, man?
Did you know I wrote a book?
I've known you write two books.
Yeah. I wrote a book anyway. It's there. You can get it on Amazon. But you think, well, I'd rather find out. I'd rather find out. Maybe that is crap, right? Maybe that ain't a great book. Just maybe. It goes through my head. Do you know what I mean? But I'd rather put it out there and go, I've done my best there. Let me, you know, the message is strong. I believe in that. You know, let's see. Then sit at home wondering.
Yeah.
Because I think that's frustrating. Well, I think we all hold back. We talk a lot about holding back on here.
Well, up to now we have. Seems to be the hot topic. But who gets to be the judge whether it's shit or not? Well, do you know what I mean? Like, it's obviously going to have an impact on somebody.
Well, I just think maybe it gets in the hands of one person who goes, you know, that woke me up a little bit, or made me feel better about where I was at, gave me hope that I could do some stuff that would move me forward.
Yeah.
If it does it for one person, hey-ho.
Well, that's what it's about.
You know what I mean? But if it does it for 5 million, even better.
Hey, well, that's where we're going. Well, that's what, you know, Man United got beat by Copenhagen.
Yeah.
I thought that's the most amount of heart I've seen United play for a while, right? And it was nice to see, because that's what I've wanted to see. That's what we've been lacking recently, for whatever reason. And on the way home, my son was disheartened. He's like, how do you believe that? And I said, son, you know, this is the way the game plays sometimes. You know, if you know you did your best and you gave it 100% and you didn't win the game, then that doesn't mean you lose, you know? No. And that's the same with this, right? We were out there, I would say, you know, being your business partner, being your friend, and being my coach and mentor for a long time, I know one thing we share in common, that we just turn up to do our best. Well, whatever the outcome, it's like there's no attachment to the outcome, right? But that's us being, you being who you want to be for something that you want to gain, obviously was the start of this book, you know? You wanted to put this out there, you wanted to give your teachings and the things that have helped you, you know, be part of a body you could share with others.
Yeah,
right?
I think the thing is, when you do stuff like that, it's like anyone, it's like asking somebody out, it's like going for the job, it's like trying to get in shape, it's going to the gym. You don't want to find yourself lacking, do you, to start with? It's an uncomfortable situation, putting yourself out there and maybe not getting what you want, but you've got to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't remember, there's a chapter in this book, actually. I think it's called, like, Avoiding Failure Makes You Feel Like One.
How do you know if you didn't try?
And
you know what I mean?
I think that, you know, you can avoid doing the things that you know you really want to do, but ultimately, you deep down, you know you're avoiding them, don't you?
Yeah.
But you know. Nobody else knows. And I think actually when you get out there and the person says no, or you feel a bit shitty at the gym, or you don't get the job, you know, that's where you learn it's probably not that bad, actually.
Mm.
And that you can go again and get better and all that other cool stuff we talk about. But I think we often avoid doing the things that put us open for, that leave us open to not being enough. I think enoughness is a big deal. Funny you should say that, because my old man, he'd give me a hard time about football, but he'd never give me a hard time if I worked hard.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd give me a hard time about my attitude. Yeah. If I got my head down or sulking, or he'd give me a hard time then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I like to think of me. We have these chats. Your car is like the spiritual. Like, you need to record your conversation. You just need to leave a dictaphone going in your car and not try.
Yeah.
You should record it. your son's having some mega downloads, like parenting 101.
Oh, man. Yeah, nah. Yeah, it should be the parent. Yeah.
My dad's car went, you know, the 48th minute, yeah, you gave away that fucking pass on the halfway line. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, Dad.
Yeah, you still have them, because we're so emotionally attached. I mean, I rocked up to the game on Saturday. I've got this thing at the minute where I have to drop my son at the game, get my daughter back to dancing, then go back to the game before it finishes, grab him and get back from it. You know, it's always seems to be around his time in the morning on a Saturday anyway. So I'll get back and he's at his 5 minutes on the pitch and he gets subbed off. And on the 5 minutes I've seen him, he gets tackled and he's like, oh, Jesus. I was like, yo, no. Like, we're playing the victim on this pitch. You know, like, you could see that his body language went right, and they subbed him off. On the way home, I was like, son, the problem is, you keep thinking like an attacker. Think like a defender. This fella Ray wants to tackle you. So when he tackles you, are you screaming to God or playing the victim? Is it going to change that? So stop thinking like how you want to think, and think how he's going to move, you know what I mean?
I'm going to rob you of your good moment now. Have you ever seen Caddyshack?
What is that?
Mark, have you seen Caddyshack? Can you not talk?
I can talk.
Yeah, you said Caddyshack. Yep. Brilliant. What? Caddyshack. Is it Bert? Not Bert. What's the bloke in Ghostbuster? Ghostbusters.
Bill Murray.
You never seen that? It's a stupid slapstick comedy, and there's that.
I'll have to watch it.
What is it? Destroying a golf course. A gopher, and he's like, "Do think like a to catch the gopher. Yeah. You must think like the gopher."
This comes from the streets. Because you used to be like, you can't think like one of us. You got to think like the police. You know what I mean? Like
to catch the gopher. He's like, "It's a Cinderella story." He's like, "There's this wacky groundsman." That's what you were saying. Yeah.
But I've drilled it into him. It's all
never
about
seen Caddyshack. Sorry to ruin this, but you never seen.
No.
Mate, he's get on.
He's I like Bill Murray as well. He's a character in there.
Groundhog Day.
Ghostbusters. Groundhog Day, yeah, that's a good one. That's most people's lives doing the same shit, expecting a different result.
but not noticing.
But not noticing.
Yeah. Oh, we all go there though, don't we? I find that though, we all get caught in that, don't we? Do you ever get caught in that? You think like, you just described that Saturday, I drop my boy off, I go back to dance, I drop the boy off, I get home, I do this. Before you know, a month's passed and you're gone.
Yeah.
Like, where am I?
Mm.
What am I doing?
I think the older you get, you're more cautious you are about time, right? I think death does this a lot to me. I always say, people think sometimes I've got no emotion because, especially when it comes around death, and obviously we're going to have emotion around death, but again, was in that other episode, we're speaking, like, where, is it a positive that we're looking to find or the benefit, or maybe it's just a feedback, maybe, you know, the lesson. But, and for me, death always reminds me how fragile life is and how, you know, how much time we waste with our life, right? It creates an urgency in me just to live more. Every time, live more. Even like the situation going through my mum, I'm like, really? This is a deep share, but if we can reduce the possibility of diminishing our health and having to endure what I'm witnessing, whether that's right or wrong, I think if my mum's took one for the team, so I learn that, so I can, you know, can try and reduce the possibility of that happening, which is, for me,
you know,
I'm like, I appreciate that, mum. You know what I mean? Because even with being a parent, like, it's, oh, yeah, show them what you should be in life. Well, shit, I say it to Carl all the time, like, I hope you pick on the things on me that show you what you shouldn't be in life as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? And that, you know, parenting
isn't that
is,
how we all learn from our parents? So we all go,
of course.
There's a lot of things I wouldn't do that you do, and there's a lot of things I would do that.
Yeah.
And the apple never falls far from a tree, does it?
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. But, you know, I think that, especially my mum, you know, she's been one of my greatest teachers in that way.
Yeah.
Without even knowing, she's not one for advice, my mum. You know, she's just a person that's had a massive heart. It's the Mother Teresa of Longside, we call her. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of things she's done that I go, shit, I don't want to be that.
For you as well, you're just pulling some meaning from it, innit? I'm not into this positive stuff. I mean, what's positive about that situation? Not a lot, if you're honest. But what can we do? Can we pull a sense of purpose from this, and a sense of meaning, and a way, find a way to go on and navigate life the best we can? You know, some people come into our work, don't you? And you sit there and you think, wow, you have been through the mill.
Yeah.
Like, you've had things done to you that, and life's hit you in so many ways that you are an asshole.
Yeah.
And you're still picking yourself back up, and which amazes me, and coming here to get some move forward. It's like, you can't make some of that positive, can you?
Like,
can you sit there and say, well, let's try and make the positives from this? But I think just encouraging people to find a sense of purpose and meaning to go on.
Yeah, no.
To go on and to go on as best they can, and to go on. So if someone loses a child, for example, many people come into us having lost a child, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, what do we do here? You know, life's never going to be the same. There's no point us trying to harp on positively about it. It's like, what can we do other than try and encourage you and help you to move forward in a way that you feel purposefully, do you know what I mean? That is helping you navigate the rest of your life in a way that feels right to you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's the same from, that's just quite a catastrophic thing, but even to smaller things, it's like when we have setbacks, it's like, oh, what's the positive? I hate that. What's the positive? What's the positive? It's like, look, let's forget that for a moment, unless it makes you feel better. How can we now, moving forward, how can we, what do you want? How can we navigate towards that in a purposeful, meaningful way?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Big time.
Because I think without a sense of purpose and meaning, I think that's what a lot of the big events in life do to us. They feel, we feel like, what's the point? What's the point? You know, we it's easy to see how some people feel, like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
And we lose our sense of purpose.
Of course.
We lose our sense of meaning. And when we lose that, what's the point? My life don't mean anything. There's no purpose to me in my life. Well, there's no purpose to life now. I can't find it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a horrible place because it's lonely and it's isolating and it's hopeless in a sense, yeah. Isn't it? You feel hopeless. Whereas when you can navigate it and find a sense of purpose and meaning again, I think that gives hope, gives direction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the greatest things to try and learn, but sometimes we don't learn it until
it's too shit late. Happens. Oh, it goes the opposite way. I think human evolution wouldn't be where it was if it's not learnt from trauma and evolved from trauma, I'm sure. But more to your point, Ned, is an old friend of my mum's. He's an old family friend. And he's a rum guy, you know, a real gentleman. And through COVID, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Mm. Then his wife gets diagnosed with terminal cancer. Coming to the back end of COVID, his sister, his daughter, gets found dead in bed by her kids. Then his son gets nicked on a massive criminal operation going on in up and down the country, dealing with some type of Encro phone, like an underworld phone. That's just unlocked Pandora's box, and everyone that's touched them seems to just be getting a big jail. But he gets caught up on that, gets remanded, and his oldest son comes to him and says, "Dad, I've got a real problem with crack." This is all in the space of 3 years, right? He gets told he's got 3 months to live. I didn't know this had happened until he found out my mum had cancer, and he comes and visits her, and he's like, "Listen, it's all about the mind. You've got to have that part. You've got to have the desire to live. You know, you can't tell yourself you're dead." Fran, he says to my mum, "I got told I was dead 3 months to live 3 years later. You know, I can't die because I've got to be there for my sons and my daughter's kids." This guy's so selfless. Mm. Two weeks back, he's got the bad news on his wife again. And in that week, he then phones me to ask how my mum is.
Mm. You know, well, people find a lot of purpose and meaning in helping others, don't they?
Yeah, of course. But he ain't even helping. He's trying. Yeah, well, that's a big thing, right? This is where we can get caught up. Like, I found meaning in helping everybody else, but it come at the cost of forgetting myself, which is a common denominator we all see, right? And then it's like, no, you know, I think it's a good kickstart to care for other people. I think it's naturally, you know, it's in our instinct to want to nurture and nourish other people. That's how evolution has evolved to the where it's at. This day and age, it's like, let's all be self, you know, it's all about me. And this is why victim and entitlement sets, is why I can't ever have it around me. That stench will it's not welcome at my table. But he has found meaning and purpose in now knowing it's less about him and more about what he has to do for his kids.
Well,
and
he's found a reason to...
Man, that has kept him alive.
Keep moving forward, isn't it?
Most people who get chronic illness, you know, this is just a theory of mine from what I've experienced, but, they get told they got cancer and that's it. They're like, boom, I'm already dead. You know, another friend of mine, he phoned me, he wasn't even a close friend. He said the reason why he phoned me, because it was the only person he thought would just be direct with him, yeah? And he says, "Ben, man, you know, I'm in a sticky situation. So what's up, bro?" He's like, I got a big C. And I said, "What the fuck are you going to do about it then?" And he just said, "Mate, that is the one thing I needed to wear." He said, "Everyone's
around
me."
What is he going to do about it?
Yeah, and he did, you know.
But what is he going to do about it?
Well, he's fucking good. We gave him some protocols. He got some treatment. And, he's in remission. He just had a baby girl. And every time I see him, I'm like, it was all about the power of the mind. I felt like I was dying after I spoke to you. I felt like I was just fighting. It was inevitable I was going to get the cure.
Taking big things out of it like that, I think we all give up.
I think giving up is...
on ourselves a little bit, don't we?
You tell every cell in your body you're giving up in anything, and that's exactly what you're going to fucking do.
Yeah. Talk about this a little bit, don't we, in the 5 days?
Yeah.
The first session, it's like, hey, you need to get breaking out of a rut. How do I break out of this rut I'm in?
Yeah.
Well, you need to get clear on what you want rather than what you don't, yada, yada. You need to get clear on what you can do rather than what you can't do.
Yeah.
More importantly, you got to start asking ourselves, how can I?
Yeah.
Rather than finding the reasons you can't.
Yeah.
And people love that session. And it's not a horribly delivered thing. It's not like, it's very like, hey, life's life to you. And you're probably here because Groundhog Day and you woke up and went, how do I end up here? Look at me. What am I doing in my life? Yeah. Or maybe your life's changed. We go through these seasons. Or maybe you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
You've ballsed up. I don't care. I won't judge anyone for that.
Because
I've ballsed up a billion times.
Yeah.
And done things I'm ashamed, been ashamed of.
Of course.
So when people are like, oh God, I've done these terrible things. Yeah, join the club. you know, doesn't make it okay, but let's move forward. So it's delivered in that, like, it's okay to be where you are.
Yeah.
But if you want to move forward, you can't be fixed on here, but I can't. You've got to start noticing that chatter and flip the script. How can I? What can I do? Can I do something?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's how you break out of a rut to start with. It's a mindset.
Yeah, well, it's awareness, isn't it? It's a shift. But I think...
because we feel sorry for ourselves. We all do it.
Man, yeah.
I was doing it at the start of the year, mate. I was feeling sorry for myself. I was like, oh, man, this is hard. This is tough. All this stuff going on. A little girl. And yeah. It don't make you feel any better.
Mm-mm.
Don't make, you know... makes you feel worse.
Well, ain't nothing gonna good come of that. But again, it's going back to those type of feelings.
But we all do it, right? You do it.
Massively. But this is the whole point of honouring that. What's that chapter in your book called again?
Don't know.
Be Less Shit. Get it up. It's like honouring our bad bits, is it? Honouring our bad self.
Honouring, I don't know what the chapter's called. I don't know what it'd be about. But...
go on, it's right there.
It's right here. Let me...
come on.
Well, what it's called, Ben. Yeah.
It's honouring our bad bits or something.
Honour... how we avoid honouring the bad bits...
yeah, how we avoid, right? Yeah, that's...
page 147.
In the book.
And if you believe in Christmas, kids, like your Uncle Simon does, buy my festering turd of a book and look at page 147, where I use the analogy of your mind being a mansion.
Yeah, people used to
guess
love
who's
that
on
training.
There? Guess who's on page 147?
Who?
Guess.
Ain't going to be me, is it?
Mark Whitehand.
Oh, I was going to say. I can't be in that book, can I?
Page 147. Anyway, carry on. We got distracted.
Yes. So on it, yeah, avoiding him, you know, which actually you're not. You ain't going to avoid shit.
You can't.
No. But when you honour it.
I have tried.
yeah, because you just give it more energy, right? But this is the point, like, people feel guilt and shame. Well, actually, they're phenomenal feedback for making sure you don't do that stupid shit again.
I love that. What regrets do you have? Regrets don't exist. Yeah. I've had so many comments like that. Regrets don't exist.
I know.
Only lessons. Oh, I sorry, I just fell asleep then where you just walked out of that personal development stuff. So where did the lesson come from? The regret. But regrets don't exist. Like, stop being so scared of regret.
Yeah.
Stop being so scared of... mistakes.
I know.
Stop being so scared of the sticky stuff.
Well, that's the guy that, you know, I was talking about before, John Charles. It's John, but he says John, like John Claude. It's John Charles. Yeah,
he's French, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a.
What are you called in France, Ben?
French. But he was like, the first thing he did, he was talking Ben. About, you know, a way of defense. And this guy defended by bringing up his knee, but also went for the catch. And he said, hey, mistakes, okay? And this guy went, no. He said, no, mistakes okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, look, of course mistakes are all right.
Yeah, but why do we live in a society then, possibly right now, where we're so, we hammer people for their mistakes? Let's not pretend we don't.
No.
Because we do. Well, you look at the media, it's like we have golden boys and girls or whatever, you know, and then all of a sudden... we find a chink in their armor.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck me, they're not perfect. Why is that so outrageous that we find human beings that aren't perfect? It's
like, I know, as if it merits that they're perfect.
It's like the leaking of the WhatsApp messages of the government and what. Yeah. I get all that. I get it. I'm not going into the deep topic, but it's like the outrage about it. You're like, fucking hell. I hope no one leaks my WhatsApp messages.
I know, yeah, true. Yeah.
Like we've all got stuff there that we say. And it's like we pretend that we like to think, well, everyone is white and white, perfect. There's no, and if they are, we're like, look at them, they're perfect. Then we find out that we're not, and we're like, I feel cheated. I feel damned. I dare you cheat me with your imperfectness. Why do we want people to be perfect? Is what I often wonder.
Well, I think from a media standpoint, it's just clickbait, isn't it? It's just a way of just exposing something, getting eyes on a prize. They love to demoralize and destroy people. You know, when you're the king, everyone wants a throne. When you're at the top, everyone wants to be knocked off. That's a whole different story. But I think the real issue at heart is how people destroy themselves and being that anchor man to themselves when they're making their own mistakes. Yeah, but listen, there's nobody ever in this world that has treated you worse than you've treated yourself. Do you know what I mean? in merit of just standard lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like the chit chat, the way you speak to yourself, all this shit, regardless what's happened. You know, I've had horrific things happen, but in the end, you know, I've treated myself probably like my worst enemy would ever do. But the way we destroy ourselves by thinking that mistakes ain't part of progress is the myth that is destroying most people. Me and you'd get, how many times do you have to rewrite that book?
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and then mistakes are probably refined up, lesser pages, more clear, more concise.
Added chapters, removed chapters. Brilliant. Rewritten chapters. Yeah. I could rewrite the thing now.
Exactly. And so without that mistake though, where is the growth? You know, to think that we can hit things out of the park all day long. You know, people that we merit like Michael Jordan. He missed more points than he scored, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Got to take the shot, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, like, and but we don't, well, you could say we don't
learn.
We're
talking about this a lot though. Why don't we put ourselves in that position? And I think there's an element there where we protect ourselves from the scrutiny of it, from ourselves very often.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what we're trying to say. Is like, what? So with the chapter you spoke about, like, yeah, how we avoid honouring the dark bits or whatever. You know, we're so scared to death of our so-called frailties and our so-called, that we keep them locked away, but they eat us up.
Well, you remember, you helped me with this, right? I had a big issue with, you remember when people were saying, you need to start speaking and getting on camera and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, you're crazy, mate. I can't do that stuff. I put myself in a sticky situation. And I was always, as I started to change, was guilty, and I felt a lot of shame about, you know, mistakes that I made in the past.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started honouring them, like, I won't change a thing, what I've done, what I've been through, you know.
What about some of the people you hurt? Would you prefer not to do that?
Luckily for me, I've never hurt anybody that I don't think that ever warranted hurting them, you know what I mean? I won't change a thing, you know? I mean, maybe ex-girlfriends are saying certain things, and certain things are said to me, mum and my dad, and, you know, maybe in that verbal abuse, but in terms of, yeah, I've never been no bully. But yeah, we ain't no one perfect for one. But the mistakes now looking back helps me refine my true self so much. I mean, you know, just only the other day, tapping out on my son a little bit, probably a bit of overcare, maybe validating what I said to him. But being able to reflect on that and go, I could do that a bit better. That's not me. That doesn't feel like me. You know, that was a mistake.
Yeah, and
you
sometimes
know,
owning up to the mistake.
Of course. Well, this is the noble part, right?
And say, hey, look.
Yeah.
But also, if someone owned up to me and says, hey, look, I'd be like, yeah, no worries. You know,
well, this is the argument with the mum situation. Was like, if someone just come and said I messed up, it would have been fine. So you try and play the victim and make it personal to defend your situation, you've already lost the battle.
Yeah.
For most people, innit? Well, I'm not going to accept where I was wrong. You have to lead by example. I do this with my kids all the time. Hey, you know, I could have dealt with that a bit better. My point I was trying to make was right. But at the same time, my tone was wrong. I was too aggressive. I was shouting. I know nobody was listening. I'm taking responsibility. But let's look at the point that caused the issue. Look, how many times have I asked you to do this? You know, I'm getting to a point now I'm feeling it. And this open dialogue in this conversation, without any skill, without any like, right, some black and white, you did this, I said this, we don't do it again.
Nothing's black and white.
Nah, we just evolve from it. And we can feel it, and it, you know, we can change it. And
it's funny because you're sat there, you were going like, wow, you know, I don't know if almost I deserve to go and, you know, be better.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I've been this. Yeah, so many people feel that. So many people sit there and think, you know that, oh, I don't deserve success. Don't think it sounds like that in your head sometimes.
No.
You're not wandering around going, I don't think I deserve success. I don't think I deserve happiness. It often sounds like that kind of, God,
yeah.
Excuse me, who am I to do this when I've done that? Or, you know, I've got these mistakes and maybe that means that, you know, I shouldn't have things. You know, I just need to punish myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was probably the other way. Sometimes I'm, you know, let's talk about this book. It's not a promo for this book, but may as well be. Sometimes I'm like, well, who am I to write a book?
Yeah, like an imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I didn't see it as imposter syndrome, but it was almost like, who am I to write this? Like, you know, like, I'm just quite down to earth bloke. But then eventually I came to see, like, maybe that's what this world needs.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe they need somebody who's down to earth. It's funny because somebody said to me, somebody said to them, it's like, you know, what has he ever done to be able to talk about the things he talks about. And it didn't bother me at the time. Yeah. I was like, And they were like, well, he's done a lot, actually. You know, if you spoke to him and realised where he's at in life and what he's done and what he's been through, he's done a huge amount. But sometimes it's that. It's like, well, what have I, you know, that was my buffer. Yours was like, God, who I've been, and I've had a bit of that, don't get me wrong. But I was almost like, well, who am I to talk about this? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people think that as well. Well, who am I to want better?
Yeah, yeah.
Who am I to, you know, there's people over there struggling to want to change things. Yeah. What, shouldn't I just be grateful with what I've got?
Yeah.
Even though it's not what I want, it's like, well, no.
Yeah.
You don't have to be special, you know, to want better. It doesn't mean you think you're better than anyone else. Do you know what I mean? I think everyone on the planet has the capability to want better, don't they? Do you know what I mean?
That's what growth is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not just wanting better. Like that means that what you haven't got doesn't feel good or it's not right. Like being content with what you want, be content with where you're at. And then being okay with wanting more is no problem in that. But there's a big problem, as our junior said, you know, like chasing more and never finding enough. This want of trying to find better instead of feel better?
Yeah, I think that comes back to something we spoke about a while back, which is ultimately, you know, chasing more and not finding enough is very often we're chasing the wrong things, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or things that we don't want, we just think, because someone else has gone and that's going to equal what they've got or how they feel or how they look.
Yeah, like, or, you know, we all like, hey, what is success?
Yeah.
That's you
different
get to define
for everybody,
what's
success. Yeah.
We are very different people, really, when you think about
well,
it.
Well, you're a country boy and I'm a city boy.
Yeah, but we got very similar values, but very different manifestations of those values, mm-hmm. without a doubt.
I like the way you put that.
Well, it is, haven't we? You know, the way we live is different, but very similar. At the core, you'll go, oh, they live very similar.
Yeah.
At the external, you might go, oh, they like different things.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? The way we express ourselves is different, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the way we go about things is different. But, well, I suppose what I'm trying to say is that I don't think, I'm never going to tell you how you should live. You know, or anyone.
No.
Or you want to live like me, because like, I've got it all figured out. Like, this is the way, because I think having it all figured out is having yourself figured out.
Well, this is the reason why I got, you know, I joined forces with you, because I seen that from you from early on. It was less, you know, it was more about the skills and the techniques and the philosophies and the education and the knowledge and the methods that you have learned and be able to give this to people in a step-by-step structure that they get then to be themselves with using those skills.
Yeah, the message,
you know,
is
I mean?
Be yourself.
Yeah, be yourself all the time.
And build a life you want.
Yeah, what does that look like for you? What do you want?
And that you're enough.
And it's, you know, going
and
back.
And you can improve.
Yeah, and then showing that's the, you know, that's possible with, because we do exactly what we say, right? We practice what we preach. We put everything into action. That's how we know these things work.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily will it, you know, I know we give them frameworks in terms of when these things are better to use, but we're always encouraging, you know, to use these skills and these techniques to be yourself. And that's what makes a difference, right?
Yeah, I had a real challenging question the other day on one of my reels from one of the members, actually. I'll go back and answer it. Lovely woman. She was like, you know, how long did it take you to become unbreakable? And I was like, what a question. Like, am I unbreakable? What is unbreakable?
Mm.
Knowing that you're really breakable. There isn't, you don't become unbreakable, I don't think, actually. You're not like, I am unbreakable now. It's just a mindset, really, that you can flip into and out of right now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just, it challenged my thinking. So I went to answer it and I was like, I don't know, how do you answer this?
Yeah.
That's like, when am I going to get to a point? Like, there is no one and done.
No.
There is no like, oh, I'm done now. I'm happy now. I'm a break point now. You know, it's not a destination. It's an ethos, in a sense.
Mm.
It's this ethos that, hey, you know, you can improve, you can ultimately be yourself and have what you want in life. Anyone can do that. Anyone can feel better.
Mm.
Maybe you can't feel amazing today, but you can feel better today.
Mm.
You know? And so it was a challenging question. But to bring it back round, I'm going to answer it. I suppose I'm going to actually comment on that later and answer it. But it made me think, and I was like, well, there's no destination unbreakable. It's just this mindset of like, not I am not going to be defeated. It's almost knowing that you will be defeated and are defeatable and that you are breakable and that you might break, but you can pop yourself back together and keep moving forward.
Mm.
Sound like Rocky. Keep moving forward. Have you seen that? It's not about how hard you can hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Shit, that's his story.
That's how living's done.
Yeah.
And I'm going to end on that note. Do we have to pay Rocky now? Does he have to pay Sylvester Stallone for using his words and his voice? One of my favourite things to do is just look at Mark watching me through the camera, just like a slide eye. Ben, do you want to, have you any final words of wisdom on anything we've covered today?
No, I'm going to leave it on that note.
You're going to leave it on the Rocky impression?
Yeah, I like that.
What would happen if Rocky and Mike Tyson had a conversation? He wants to
do you think you're, I think, let's leave it on this note. We said...
is this Mike Tyson coming
up? My dad's a biker, a proper biker. Like, I got a little club thing going on. And growing up, these guys were heroes to me. And we had a big do for my mum last weekend and some of these guys come over and one of them lives in Spain. He's had his battle with cancer. Lucky for him, he's in remission. And now he's over here. So he comes back over to the do and I'm like, how's it over there? He's like, man, I'm loving it. And he's known to be a tough guy, you know. He's an ex-fireman, you know, hard as nails. And he was talking about he's been adopted by this Spanish family over there that don't like English. I said, only you, you know. Only you. And he says, well, you know, I met the dad at a restaurant, and you could tell he was a bit of a boy. And they both looked at each other, and my mate now, here she goes, amigo. And he went, amigo. And my point being is that when a warrior knows of a warrior, there's going to be nothing but respect there. Yeah. You know, you'd think like, oh, it's going to go off and all. But, you know, nah, what's going to be, there's going to be a respectful conversation, because when you know how to roll on a mat, you know how to roll on a mat. And he was saying, you're never going to have trouble with a warrior like that, because there's going to be some point there, you connect, and it's going to be an answer. Yeah, you don't go that there. And I thought, you know, that's probably what would happen. It would be a respectful, in-depth, and I think they'd be able to relate to each other because they've had some hardship. And how is this the case as well, right? We talk about...
I thought you were wrapping it
up. I know, I was wrapping it up.
Fuck it now.
Sometimes it's a long wrap up. I'm going to wrap this up real quick because we need to wrap this up this way.
Stop lying to me.
Yeah, no, we need to wrap it up this way.
I'm just going
to
wrap it up.
You've got people like, let's use Mike Tyson, let's use Sylvester Stallone, David Beckham, Ronda Rousey, whoever. Most of these people have had hardship, right? Most of these people have failed. Undoubtedly, all of them have made mistakes. And we all know in the end, we all look and go, that shit looks attractive. But what seems to be the unattractive attractiveness right now is a complete opposite.
Mm.
And that's where that's where it needs to change.
Well,
you know?
I think there's an attractiveness we find in there. I like the failings in the story.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why would you not want to be,
When it's all successful, it gets a bit boring in the film. You're like, oh, we go.
Well, it's the same guy, you know, my friend who's got that willingness to keep going. Anyway, I'm like, that's attractive, right?
Wrapping up. Thank you for coming along. I'll see you next time.
See you soon.
Wrap up.